connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for web.
Computer today.
Computer.
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 NetSurfer Pro.
Oh, man. What happened?
Oh, jeez.
Did we... Oh, right. We were in that house that we rented for the studio. Did we pass out? Did you pass out? Because I think I passed out.
I think we passed out at basically the same time.
Correct.
Oh, man.
I filled the room with toxic... not toxic at all gas, just sleeping gas.
Oh, it's a good thing that you used a non-toxic sleeping gas. It's very courteous of you as the person who has kidnapped us and put us in ankle guillotines.
Non-toxic, non-aerosol, eco-friendly sleeping gas.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's good. That's, yeah, the ozone layer and stuff is always a big concern nowadays.
Congratulations on your first successful episode, but the clock still ticks. I've currently installed yet another, let's say, incentive to keep you active.
Well, I mean, we already have, like, ankle guillotines.
That's
which
not
is...
enough.
Okay.
I took to heart the bit about Marissa not needing their feet eventually.
Ah, yeah, all right. That's fair. That's fair.
Diabetes commonly leads to loss of feet.
True. While I personally, would hate to have no feet, that is a fair point. So what have you got for us nowadays?
If you see, I've installed a mirror in front of you.
Oh god, that's the worst thing I can imagine, looking at myself.
Even worse than that.
Oh no.
I have a crossbow set up behind the mirror.
Oh no.
Trained directly at your forehead.
Oh god, both of our foreheads in one crossbow?
It has two barrels.
Holy
that's
shit.
That's right, it's a dual crossbow.
It's a double barrel crossbow.
Equipable only at level 3.
Oh man, I think I'm only level 2. I think I'm only level 2. Is Marissa level 3?
No, I'm like level 2.5, I think. I'm
damn.
Really close. I've been grinding pretty hard.
Yeah.
But
wow.
Don't worry, the crossbow won't kill you.
Oh, thank god.
However, what it leads to may...
Oh no, you mean...
If you don't get out in time, then something will happen once the crossbow fires.
Ah, darn. Is that like, are we going to have to figure out what it does next week? Which is to say, next episode?
No, it has been roughly 6 days since I last put you to sleep.
Fair enough.
Don't worry, I've taken care of any and all bodily functions that needed maintenance. I'm like an auto mechanic for people.
I guess that's better than the alternative. But I thank you for not going into too much detail beyond just a mechanic for people. Well, thank you, Sokubane, mysterious... Sokubane,
yes. Is my bullet hell fighting game counterpart.
Right, yes, sorry. Thank you, Sokubane. You're still a very mysterious gentleman, but you are surprisingly a gentleman for having put us in these traps that are very emulative of a certain movie franchise.
I've even set up a partition near you so that you have a corner you can retreat to.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Do we have like a bucket or something that we can, like do our business in?
Anyways, I have to go now. I have
darn.
A doctor's appointment.
Okay, well, hey, you have a good doctor's appointment and
I'm hanging up.
Okay, yep, we'll just Oh yeah, you are a phone, I guess. I didn't even realize there's a phone in here. Maybe we can... We probably should have been using this to, like, call the police or something.
I can't reach it.
Yeah. I could, but a cab.
You know what? You're so right.
Well, I guess while we're still trapped here, we should continue to do NetSurfer Pro.
Yeah, whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web, where I'm your host, Matthew Marissa.
And I'm, of course, your co-host, Galen.
And it's Housetober. We're still talking about spooky houses. Things inspired by House of Leaves, as well as House of Leaves, which itself was inspired by House of Leaves. If you've seen the episode, you would understand.
Yep, that's a little bit of a callback to you longtime fans who listened to last week's episode.
Yeah. So, this week we've got something that is actually incredibly recent as far as House of Leaves inspired things go.
Yes, this is within this year, I believe.
Within this year.
This very year we're discussing this, October 2023.
I know, right? It's so this year. It's wild how current year this is.
But
just like Starfield.
Yeah, man, I love Starfield. But before we talk about something that released this year, why don't we talk about something that released this year? That's right, it's we're going to the Hyperfixation Station.
Doot, doot.
So I want to just briefly talk about the second of my two topics. That's right, this is the last of the topics for this entire Housetober. And it has to do with a house. I don't think it's at all really inspired by House of Leaves. So it doesn't have that connection, unlike the last one, which kind of had that connection. But it's still very interesting, and it has to do with a house. That's right, I'm talking about Welcome Home. Thank you. So, Welcome Home is a series. It's a web horror series. It's horror. So the reason that I want to speak about it is because it is one of the more interesting web horror series, web original series, what have you, web fiction. Web fiction is the term. The crux of it here is that this random website popped up that was the Welcome Home Restoration Project. And it was essentially a group of people who are seemingly not entirely autonomously trying to reconstruct, resurrect, get more information on an old show from the 70s called Welcome Home. Welcome Home is a puppet show that had like 8 or so rotating characters like you do. The main character is Wally Darling. There's also Barnaby the Beagle, I think he is. There's a bunch of different characters. They're all very cute.
It's a puppet show if the puppets were controlled and constructed similar to marionettes.
Basically, yeah. Yeah.
And it's educational for kids.
Of course. It's cute. The like stuff that they presented as though it was actual like in, you know, in universe show stuff is really cute, and it has a it's got a really, really good tone that like is very of the time of the period. And so on one hand there's that, on the other hand there's the overarching mystery, which is that, well, number one, this is obviously a show that doesn't really exist in truth, in sooth, past the fiction, but the people who have been trying to restore it seemingly are kind of like acting against their own will. Like there's a force that's forcing them to like try and restore it. There's also the fact that like as it sort of like grew in popularity, there's a bunch of like fan art and stuff. It's a little bit, I think Wally Darling has become slightly a Tumblr sexy man.
Yeah,
just a little bit of a Tumblr sexy man.
If not a sexy man, at least a bad boy.
Yeah, Tumblr bad boy.
Jesse, a bad boy.
And the other part of this is that Wally Darling himself is kind of an entity that that is seemingly spawned and is getting a little more powerful the more attention comes to this sort of this obscure old show.
He's one of those.
He's one of those. But it's done very interestingly too, because like, usually when I would say, you know, he's an entity tied to this old show, that implies a certain amount of, like, villainhood. But it seems like Wally is kind of just, like, equally trapped with us, despite the fact that he is definitely growing in power. Like, he mentions, like, I have so many more eyes now, but I still cannot see, that sort of thing. Which is specifically referencing, like, all the fan art made of him, all the eyes on the project itself. And so, like, it's this very interesting little thing. There's also been, in the second round of this, the second excursion, there's been a lot of very interesting little Easter eggs and stuff that show different reactions with the characters, and is very clearly from Wally's perspective, but he's always, like, spacing out on some random, like floor or, like, the like a picnic food or something while the characters interact, which is really great for, like, showing the characters themselves, because the characters are kind of all wonderful. And also kind of adds to the mystery. Because, again, we don't really know, like, why Wally is constantly spacing out and why he's, like, slightly more awkward than all the other ones. Is he just autistic? That could be an explanation. It's definitely kind of coded as such that he's just, like, you know, not neuroatypical. But at the same time, it's this really interesting kind of recursive series. I highly recommend checking out Nightmind's video over it, or going to the website yourself and doing some exploration. I'm going to stop talking about it now because it's not the main topic, but it is the nested house topic. So yeah, it's really interesting.
I like the character that's a house.
Yeah, house.
There is just a house character with like eyes in the windows.
Yeah, There is in fact one of those secret videos is just like Barnaby talking to House, mm-hmm. and like it keeps responding by like squeaking doors and stuff. It's cute.
Yeah, that's a great one. So speaking of squeaking doors,
speaking of houses,
yeah. So it's 2023, and what if I told you that one of the most impactful indie games of the year to take the internet by storm was a mod for, well, sorry, a WAD for Doom.
Yes.
2, that is. So, let's go to the Fact Corner.
The Fact Corner.
So, Doom 2 is a video game released a long time ago in the 90s, and it was part of the Satanic Panic, and people thought video games were going to bring about the spawn of the devil. And so Jack Thompson tried to stop that, in which the ZERB was founded to create a ratings bureau set on sort of categorizing games in terms of maturity rankings.
Yeah, it was probably a necessary step in the general acceptance of video games. But yeah, this is a rather famous like landmark thing. Doom was a big part of it. Night Trap was also famously like one of the biggest games during the whole ESRB rating.
Mortal Kombat. Yeah. So, however, Doom also has this really interesting piece of history in that it's, like, honestly one of the earliest modding scenes.
Yes.
Maybe not the earliest. I feel like there were arcade machine, like, hacks. Like, I don't know if Rainbow Edition and similar Street Fighter 2 hacks came out before this, but, like, Ms. Pac-Man, famously.
Yeah.
And then also, there was, like, Mario Bros. Modding tools that were in Japan for the Famicom Disk System.
So not the first one, but
one of the earliest.
One of the earliest and one of the one of the earliest for a sort of general American audience, I would say.
Especially for a shareable audience.
Yes.
Yeah, so Doom 2 is like a really well-optimized game, classic first-person shooter, and yeah, people, there's like modding tools for it, which caused there to be a big scene of Doom level creation for what they called WADs.
Yes. WAD is the file format,
mm-hmm.
That the, like, it's usually, like, the maps, the weapons, any and all of the, like, actual custom graphics,
yeah,
and
stuff.
Yeah,
the assets.
Yeah.
Music.
Just, it all gets compressed down into .WAD.
Yeah. Now, I think Doom is a really interesting game from a technical standpoint, because, like, for being an early FPS, it has a lot of things that are very quaint and outdated, but it also has a lot of technical sort of solutions to problems. The big one is that Doom does not have platforms above other platforms.
Yes.
So Doom levels, you can think of them as a 2D map that is given height by like a topographical filter.
Yeah. If you look at any map from the original release of Doom up to, like, Episode 4 and Doom 2 up to Final Doom, I believe most, if not every single one, is essentially you could just flatten it down to a 2D plane that has walls, because that was just a limitation of the system, and that was how they kind of got around technical limitations while still having things look, you know, impressive and having height differences between
things.
Yeah,
you could go upstairs and there's like high ground for enemies, though I think the actual like aiming up and down wasn't quite there.
Oh, aiming up and down was literally not a thing. You would essentially just like, you had left and right aiming, and then you would auto aim up or down if there was an enemy up or down.
Yeah. But it still added that depth. So, Doom was made for the MS-DOS.
Yeah.
An old-ass computer. So nowadays, most people use sort of source ports, which are ports of the game to new source code that pretty much take the source code, recompile it to a new operating system. In this case, the main one people use is GZ Doom, which has its own set of updates and quality of life improvements, higher resolutions, higher like pixel resolutions for the window size, and most notably, free look, or, you know, the ability to look up and down.
Yeah.
It's in the game.
Yeah. GZ Doom is to Doom what, like, OpenRCT is to Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah, but maybe even more so, because I feel like it's easier to run RCT on a new computer.
Yes.
Yeah, so with that, there is still a huge section of Doom WAD creators. There's, like, jams and competitions all the time. There's just a big scene for it. It's a classic game for a reason. Tons of people create mods for it and whatnot. So that leads us to myhouse.wad, which was published in 2023 in March on the Doomworld forums, posted by a user named Veg, who we'll talk about Veg in a second.
We'll veg out pretty soon.
Yeah, so this was released pretty nonchalantly. The premise is that Veg's friend died recently, and Veg had traveled to his hometown to go to his friend's funeral. There, he found, he went to his friend's old house and found a box in his attic full of old floppy disks. And on these were Doomwads that he and his friend created when they were little. One of these was a wad based off of his friend's house, and just like the house that he grew up in. And Veg thought, you know what, it would be nice to create, to sort of update this to GZ Doom, add some quality of life features, and re-release this. It would be a nice tribute. That's what is sort of given on the forum post for this. Now, it has a link to a Google Drive. This Google Drive at first was just the file for the WAD. And then, well, technically it's like a PK3 file. It's not actually a WAD.
Yeah, so that is one
just,
little thing.
Just note that.
Yeah, it's technically a PK3 file, and that's slightly important, but for our purposes, we're just going to be calling it myhouse.wad.
Yeah, that's what it's called officially, quote-unquote, the name of it. At first, it was just the PK3 file. Then there were some revisions that added extra content to the drive, most notably a set of photographs and a journal. The drive belongs to one Steven Nelson, which appears to be the real name of Veg. I also want to note, by the way, just for sort of posterity's sake, Veg was a real user that, like, had posts dating back years.
Yeah.
This was not an account created just in 2023. Keep that in mind.
I want to also kind of note that this, like, the whole thing of, like, making a WAD of your house is not something specific to myhouse.wad. Part of what makes myhouse.wad work is that, like, this was a very common thing to do back in the day, was make your house in Doom.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are any famous WADs that are that. There is one famous WAD that is a school in Doom, but that has a different history.
Oh, no. Don't. Why would you even bring that up?
It's important to Doom's history, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, the part of what makes myhouse.wad sort of work is that it is not only just, like, very interesting as an outsider, like, for this thing to have completely just dropped from nowhere. It is really interesting as an insider, too, because, like, there's a lot of bespoke, different, just little things that make a lot more sense if you've been in the Doom scene for a very long time.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and just open up the game.
Yeah.
We've covered the basics, the premise. So in the game, you open up and you find yourself in front of a house.
And you there's music that's going like... Bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, it's the normal Doom music.
Yeah, it's not actually that particular track, but anyway.
Yeah, so you can go in either the garage or the front door. Either way, you can stay on the upstairs or you could go to the basement.
Sorry, basement?
Yeah, so remember how I said that Doom can't have platforms over platforms?
This is
like one of the big things that I think makes this WAD effective is that from the outset, it very clearly completely fucks with Doom in its, like, what's the word? Like, its standards?
Yeah.
Now, I believe in modern Doom, like, source ports, like in GZ Doom, you could add platforms.
Yes.
Like,
so,
there are versions of it that would allow that.
So, yeah, the tricks for having things, you know, having rooms under other rooms do exist and, like, have existed in previous Doom WADs as well. So, like, it's not 100% completely unheard of, but it is sort of, like, it's something that's immediately striking, especially if the idea is, like, we made this when we were, you know, little kids.
Yeah, if this was a WAD first made in the 90s, then it's off immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. In practice, what actually happens is it uses a set of portals and teleports to make it appear as if it is one cohesive map, when in reality it is several maps copied and pasted and edited in minor ways over and over out of view from the player, such that they teleport between them, though it appears natural. This is similar to stuff that, like, this sort of portal technology is used a lot in games. I think, like, Portal is the obvious one.
Yeah.
Like, there is I think a behind-the-scenes video of Portal where they take out the Portal texture to show just what a regular Portal looks like. But also, anytime you see, like, non-Euclidean geometry in video games, it usually uses teleports and portals.
Yeah.
A teleport being specifically a spot you stand on that moves you, and a portal being a model area that is, like, loaded visually, so it's rendered as well as teleports you. And interestingly, my house uses both of these.
Yeah.
Because, like, the basement stairs has a teleport, so, like, if you're looking up while you go down the basement stairs, you'll see the upstairs banister, like, vanish. Because there's no floor there. However, at the same time, there are other areas that just have portals that don't have any visible marks of you are moving to a different map. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quick house tour, by the way.
Yes. So the house layout itself is something you're going to be intimately familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So on the upstairs, we have like a little bit of a an entrance room. To your right goes to the garage. To your left comes in deeper in the house. You got like a hallway that has a like subsectional kitchen and then the living room. There's slight sightline blockage, which is especially useful because this is a Doom map. There are enemies. There are going to be enemies through a lot of this, in fact. But like there's a living room area on the far side. Then there's the short hallway like continues into an area that has three doors, I believe, standardly.
Yeah.
One of which is the bedroom, one of which is
The laundry room,
which I think, is that the one that's also connected to the restroom?
No,
okay.
I believe it is, there is the master bedroom, which has its own master bathroom.
Right.
There's the laundry room, there is the guest bedroom, and then there is the hall bathroom.
Right.
Also, there is also the lounge room, there's also the stairs downstairs that you find through that hallway. But we don't need to get into that yet.
Yeah, that's all coming. Don't you worry.
In the basement, there is the sort of main game room area of the basement. There is the, like, utility room that has, like, the water heater and electricity, like, the circuit breakers, the switchboards, the heater. All of that is sort of behind the stairs, and that has its own stairs leading to the garage.
Yes.
Then there are, I believe there's two bedrooms in the basement. An office and a bathroom? Or it's one bedroom, one office, one bathroom?
I believe it's that one. I don't think there's two bedrooms, but I might be wrong here.
Yeah. So that's sort of the basic overall overview of the house. In a normal playthrough, you still play this similar to Doom. You know, you kill some enemies, you gather your key cards, you get the red, the yellow, and the blue key cards.
Notably, tags at the level, there's a blue key card, like, gate that just lowers when you get the key card that you need.
Yeah. It's like the red key card is upstairs, I believe, in the master bathroom. The yellow key card is downstairs in one of the rooms down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the blue key card's in the laundry room, in, like, a closet that would have, like, laundry detergent or an ironing board or something. So once you get the blue key card, you can leave and you go to Underhalls, the regular level 2 of Doom 2.
Yep.
So, you know, you can just play that. But when you beat Underhalls, you appear back at the house.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
if you do this and you know, beat this level again, then you go back to Underhalls and you go back to the normal house over and over again.
You're going to realize that you're in a loops.
A loops.
A loops.
A loosp.
Elusive loop. A loosey-goosey elusive loop. I don't know. Anyway, how do we break out of this loop? Well, if you go to the basement during your first excursion into the house, you will notice outside of one of the windows in the basement, there is a power-up orb. It's called a soul sphere.
Yeah.
It's a power up in Doom 2 that I believe puts you at 200 health and 200 armor. It's good. And it is outside in the basement. So if you go outside the front, you will go back to the basement and you will see the pedestal that it should be on.
Okay, it's outside in the yard behind the house.
Right, yes, yeah, sorry.
That's a bit more accurate spatially. This is an audio podcast. We can't show the house.
So if you look at this graph real quickly.
Yeah. So it's above like a
like a little pedestal like
thing. It almost looks like a composter.
Yeah.
Or you know how the houses will have like the utility meters under a little bulb?
Yeah, it looks like that little like, you know, extrusion.
Yeah.
But if you go to the backyard and if you go to that little extrusion, you will not see the orb. But if you look at the house, you will see a bunch of enemies in the house, in the rooms, in the rooms that you just cleared.
Uh-oh.
One of the small subtle details, by the way, about this is that the various windows that look into the house, some of the rooms that there are windows for on the back, there were not windows for initially.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a fun little, like, second look into, like, things are getting a little bit spooky.
Yeah. Also, I want to shout out David X. Newton, who did the Machinations of MyHouse.wad series, which gives a lot of technical behind-the-scenes details. I bring this up because in part 4 of that series, he shows that the walls of the house are a set of portals. And that's how they change what they view, what they show, is they change what portal is loaded onto the wall.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's cool.
Yeah. So, going back in the house, you know, you're like, okay, I gotta clear out these enemies. The door's gone.
Yep.
Where's the door handle?
Drake, where's the door?
Yeah, so the house also has some harder enemies this time. Hopefully you picked up the powered shotgun in the underhalls.
And hopefully you also picked up the chainsaw in the first, only the initial house.
Yeah.
There's a hidden chainsaw in the garage.
The garage.
The garage.
Yeah. This is where the game gets interesting. So, essentially, let's play it out like this. So, you get the red key card, which looks like a skull now, then the yellow. Then when you go to get the blue key card, it's not there. Instead, there is an attic staircase leading up through the laundry room.
Yep.
In the attic, there is a mirror covered by like a sheet. And, you know, you can pull that out and it looks like there's like an ornament in the mirror, like a Christmas ornament on the floor.
Where the blue skull was that you just picked up.
Yeah, you pick up the blue skull there. But when you pick it up, the ornament in the mirror stays there. Go back down. The hallway's a little different. There's more doors on the hallway.
Yep.
One of them leads to a, like, modern living room with, like, a black and white, like, contrasting wall and countertops. It's, like, marble countertops. It's very modern. I don't know what else to say other than modern living room.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of, it's very,
trendy apartment.
Yeah. It's modernist.
Modernist, like, in the literal sense. You know, you can go down the stairs there, go to the kitchen, grab a milkshake. And then you can leave and that door is still there, but now there's another door. That door leads to the lounge, which has a Pepsi.
A Pepsi, a Peepus.
But then when you grab that Pepsi and you leave, the lounge door is gone. Doors are everywhere and nowhere.
We've mentioned the milkshake and the Pepsi. So the goal of this game, and you won't initially specifically know this, but the goal of this game is to collect little artifacts. And those artifacts are things like the Pepsi, the milkshake, the ornament. Other things include, like, I believe there's, like, a baby bottle, there's a pill bottle.
Stuffed animal.
Yeah, stuffed animal. There's a bunch of different little, you know, like we said, artifacts. Things that presumably the person kind of had in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the, like, ultimate goal is there is a painting that has 8 squares in the normal house. And you're trying to fill those out.
Yeah. Though some of them, when you pick them up, don't actually appear in that painting.
Which is curious. Hmm. From the point where the house gets fucked up, we'll say, there's a couple of different places it can go.
Yeah. This is sort of a hub for several branching pathways.
Let's start with the worst one first, I think.
The first one worst?
The first one worst.
In the basement, in the, like, game room area, there's a bookcase against the wall. Pretty unassuming. But once you have the blue key card, you can actually interact with the bookcase and push it aside to reveal a secret passage.
Ooh.
Now, you might be wondering, how was I supposed to know that? Well, you nincompoop. In the photos in the extra files, there's a photo of the basement being painted with clearly a doorway where the bookcase currently is. So, you know, use the blue key card to open the door, and that should take you to the next level, except it doesn't. It takes you to a small room with a circuit box. A breaker box.
A breaker box. What happens if you break this box?
A broken breaker box?
A broken breaker box.
It's not good.
Yeah, it sucks. So if you interact with this box, the map immediately darkens, which is to say, specifically the room you're in just goes completely full dark, I believe. And the basement area itself gets very shrouded in darkness. You also start hearing, like, some screams, and I believe you start hearing crackling at this point.
Yeah.
You can kind of get the, you can kind of get what's happening here. If you go out, though, there's going to be some new enemies for you, and they're a little spookier. There's, like, a smoke monster. I believe it's not the Archvile. The Archvile is different, but it's something very similar to the Archvile.
It sure is an enemy from Doom.
It is an enemy from Doom. It's not the Archvile, but it's close to the Archvile. Anyway, you fight those. There's also, like, I think these, like, red meat monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go upstairs, you will see a house that is clearly charred and burnt. It has experienced better days.
Yeah.
And I believe up there is also where the sound effect of, like, burning and screaming gets a little more present.
Yeah. A number of items you can collect here, but I don't think they actually matter, right?
Yes, yeah. The items that you can collect here, it's like a burned teddy bear that says, like, tainted innocence or something like that. There's, like, a burned journal that says, like, tainted memories, stuff like that. But after being in this burned house, how do you get to the like, brutalist apartment complex?
So now in the basement, in one of the rooms, there is an extra tunnel in one of the, like, the back rooms that have have like the machinery and stuff. One of the utility rooms. There is a chalk outline on the wall of a doorway, which if you're me, you might recognize from the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, where they find the third dimension. But that itself was a reference to a Twilight Zone episode where they find a portal to another universe in their wall and they outline it with chalk. Going through that takes you to the Brutalist House, which is very similar to that, like, liminal airport hotel image of, like, a courtyard that's really dark.
Yeah, yeah. It's there's a part in the, like, the first Backrooms short film that was made where, like, the person goes over to an edge and looks, like, down and up, and there's this, like, gigantic apartment complex with a bunch of, like, inlaid rooms and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to that.
Well, that itself was based off that airport hotel image.
Yes. Yeah. And so, like, the whole area outside of the play area is that sort of, like, you know, courtyard area. And then the inside is this concrete slab recreation
of the house.
We did say that you'll be very familiar with the layout of the house. Most of the places in this mod are variations on the house itself.
Yes.
They're echoes of the house, you could say.
Yeah, there's also a dog here. It will try to bite you.
Yeah, there's a big old scary dog. It's, like, got two heads. It's almost a Cerberus. It's a Biberus.
A Biberus, yeah. A few things of note, there are some rooms you can reach by, like, falling off the side, one of which is lit and it has a TV that is showing the room you're in.
Yep.
You can also unplug the TV,
to which
it just shows static, I believe.
Yeah.
And then there is another one that has an exit sign, and there's a little dude in the doorway.
Yeah, there's one of those dudes.
It looks like either the Hell Valley Sky Trees or Apier.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely inspired by, like, you know, the like, figurine.
The sort peeper.
Of, yeah, the peeper. The peeper peeps and the watcher watches.
Yeah.
But In the Brutalist house itself, there is at least, like, one little hallway you can slip into that the dog can't go through. It's worth noting, by the way, that the house, like, the first house with the big dog is specifically larger than you. It's meant to make you feel smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You're, like, just a little guy. But if you go through the hallway, you get to a more normal size, a smaller space, so you look larger. Which has another dog, but this one's just a good boy.
No.
This one's just, like, a good little boy.
Just a good boy.
He comes up to you and he goes, bork, and I don't think you can pet him. But, what I love here is that you can probably already tell, but these two dogs are connected. So if you want to, if you really have to get through the big section, the scary dog section, you could always kill the dog in the other section and it will kill both dogs. Or if you fight the big dog, it will ultimately kill the other dog. I want to gush about this.
Yeah.
I love this so much.
The most common thing is for people to kill the big dog and then find the little dog on the other side.
Yep.
The second most common is for people to outrun the big dog, find the little dog, but immediately reflexively shoot it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when the little guy comes up, he doesn't stop until he's right at your feet. So you could totally imagine that it might be another enemy trying to kill you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do the gamer thing.
This is such a little pocket of, like, it's a little pocket moral. I love it where it's like, you know, you have the big scary dog when you're a child, you have the normal sized dog when you're an adult, and it's like, it's very thematic of, like, you know, things that scare you as a child being not as scary as an adult. It's also definitely a thing of, like, you don't realize what you have until it's gone, because, you know, like, you could get rid of the scary dog, but, you know, you then, like, doing so gets rid of the non-scary dog, too, because they're the same dog.
Right.
It's
also a, like, in a vacuum, it is this, like, psychological torment.
Yeah.
Meant to play off of gamer reflexes that one might have in Doom. Like,
I love it.
Like, why would there be a friendly NPC in Doom?
Yeah.
It's Doom.
It's Doom.
Up until this point, you've been killing things before they could even see you, you know? Especially the little pink guys that run at you.
Yeah, the fucking pinkies.
Yeah. Like, you're killing those, so why wouldn't you just assume this thing is an enemy?
It's a wonderful gotcha.
Anyways, you can pick up Pumpkin Rick in the Brutalist House.
Yeah, there's Pumpkin Rick. He is required, but
Unfortunately,
Pumpkin Rick is required.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? It's pumpkin season right now, so it is spooky season.
Yeah.
Shout out to pumpkins.
Mm.
But, so, in going through the burned house, you have locked yourself into a bad ending, essentially. Nothing good can come from a burned house, as the journal states. There's a journal, we'll probably talk about it later. It's part of the Google Drive.
Yeah. So, from the Brutalist house, though.
Yes.
There's a tunnel that leads to an airport, which I swear to God has to be based off the the Dallas International Airport, the like fucked up Freemasons one.
Yeah,
you know the one I'm talking about.
I think I do. There's doesn't this... it have like a mural?
Yeah, it has this big mural, and the only thing I could think of is that airport. I hope it's the Dallas International Airport.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if I got the airport city wrong, but there's this airport. People have conspiracy theories about it. It's weird. And anyways, yeah, you can go through the airport. There is a very long rope queue line you have to go through to get an item. It's very funny.
Yep. There's another item in this area, but we'll talk about that in a minute. And so, yeah, you go through the airport and you go into the airplane. I believe if you go the burned house route, you do still go through the airport, the airplane section, where, like, you go on the plane, and then it, like, the if you go up to the controls, which is, like, the only thing you can interact with, basically, if you interact with them, you start getting beeping, you come back out, the plane's lights have gone down, there's enemies in there now, and the only way out of it is to jump out of the plane. Smash cut to Overgrown House.
Yeah. The house is just that thing you said.
Yeah, it's just, it's the burned out husk of the house has become, you know, overgrown by a bunch of vegetation. It's clearly just been sort of left for a while.
Vegetation.
And you can just sort of go through it. It's you know, it's very somber. It's a very, like, sobering moment of, like, you know, this house is clearly scary, but now that it is dead, ostensibly, it's, you know, it's kind of like, well, shit.
It's almost like urban exploration of how people go to old dilapidated buildings.
Yeah.
It is viewing it in the sense of, like, this is a ruins, not a trash heap.
Yeah.
Not a scrap pile, not a broken burnt mess. It is now a proper ruins with all of the mystique and reverence that comes with that word.
Yep. And the moment that you step out of the front door,
it disappears.
Yep. The music cuts out. It's perfect. It disappears, and if you look behind you, there's a for sale sign from Navidson Realty.
Oh, hell no.
Shit.
So it's about time we opened the journal. In the journal, first things first, the word house is blue.
Yes.
In case it wasn't obvious yet.
In case you didn't get the reference, House of Leaves is definitely an inspiration here.
Yeah. So the journal is Stephen's journal from when he first went to his friend's funeral to like the point where he releases the game. It is a documented sort of his progress, his mindset, but then eventually he starts sort of talking about the nightmares he's been having since he started working on this WAD. And the nightmares are very complicated. They're usually just freaky, weird occurrences. I honestly am not a big fan of the journal as far as the actual writing goes. I think, like, writing-wise, it's a little eh.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not the main focus of it.
Yeah.
It's definitely no Mark Z. Danielewski.
It does its job.
Yeah. There is a clear sort of... There's a similar process of Stephen feeling like the house is using him.
Yeah.
You know, he comes to and realizes he's added things to the house that he doesn't remember putting there, or that it's grown larger and larger than before. And I do like this idea in this instance specifically, because remember how I said that the complexity of the house is done by copying the layout of the house over and over and over? The mindless repetition that would involve is what he is doing.
Yeah.
He's not just like obsessively finishing this. He is obsessively repeating it, which is actually incredible to me. That's like a specifically horrific thing. That's like a Borgesian infinite obsession sort of deal.
Yeah.
Like, that is a cool concept to me. That the fact that, like, knowing how the map is constructed makes that more chilling.
It's really, really cool. It's also worth noting here, because you might go into the journal around this point, that a lot of the nightmares that he mentions are things that end up showing up in the game.
Yeah, like the burned house.
Yeah, the burned house shows up. That's actually where I specifically got the line of nothing good can come from a burned house. Also, the plane section is like directly from the journal as well.
Yeah.
And so like if you read the journal, you might get a bit of a heads up on some of the stuff in it. I would say spoiled, but like, you know, it's a complete package at that point.
Yeah. But yeah. Also, there are some other nightmares that mention some weird things.
Yes.
So from here, you might have an idea. Reset the game, go back to when you first go into the house and take off the sheet from the mirror. When the doors disappear, go back to that hub point. First, there is a dream where Stephen looks into the mirror and his reflection, like, winks at him. Stephen reaches into the mirror and finds that he can pass through. When he does so, he ends up on the other side of the mirror, and his reflection takes his place and starts going about his life.
Which is, of course, a hint, and it might coincide with the bauble in the attic house, or yes, the attic mirror. So, if you go back to the part where the, you know, we've uncovered the mirror and stuff, we've seen the bauble. If you go out of the attic and into one of the bathrooms that has a mirror that's the same, like, you know, bluish tint, you can get up and into the mirror world, which is an entire separate world that has its own, like, enemies, and I believe the music is reversed as well, because obviously. Yeah.
Also, it's worth noting, in the house, when the doors close, it gets to a separate version of Running 2, which is the song that's being played.
Yeah.
That is, like, 10 minutes long, because it distorts and messes with it over and over as it goes. So it seems like it's looping, but it's not looping. It is getting worse.
Yeah. I also want to specifically shout out that there's a couple of things that are specifically meant to, like, mess with you a little bit as somebody who knows Doom. Like, during the second run of the house, it also switches to, like, high frame rate animations that aren't normally part of Doom. They're, like, a mod or something, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it's essentially adding to an uncanny feeling of, like, this feels correct, but at the same time, it's not 100% there.
Yeah. So in the mirror world, there is also another set of 8 squares on pictures in the hallway.
Aha, so there's actually 16 artifacts.
Yes. From here, you can go up into the attic, get the bauble, go to the crib in the corner, and find a, like, baby toy?
Yes. That says, it wasn't meant to be, so sad. Forewarn, baby sale, never shoes.
And then from there, I think specifically this takes you down a slide to the daycare. But the dream, yeah, Stephen has in the journal mentions the daycare being outside the daycare. I love this. There's a picture of Shrek on the wall, and it's this like really shitty colored pencil drawing of Shrek.
Yep.
In the daycare also, there's like some chalkboards in... By the way, the daycare is the basement floor of the house.
Yeah.
Let's just make that clear for now.
Yeah, if we mention a new area, it probably looks mostly like the house.
Yeah. So there is, in one of the rooms, there's a chalkboard that has a weird drawing on it. I never found it that creepy, but a ton of people do, so I had to bring that up. And you can find some crayons there. That's your item from this part. But once you do so, Shrek is gone. You can now leave the front door of the daycare to, like, an outdoor play area that looks like the path.
Oh my god! Are you talking about the path, that, like, video game from 2006?
Or... The Red Riding Hood one?
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, good deep cut there. That's... Paper Will had a very good video over that.
So did Aziz.
So, while you're out in the path area, Shrek... starts coming up to you.
Shrek himself tries to chase you down.
He's very slow, but I believe he's like essentially a one-hit kill if he catches you, so you gotta circle strafe and kill him.
He also has way too much health.
Yeah, yeah, he takes a while to take down.
He's a big ogre.
He's a big ogre.
For you. Sorry, just passing by. See you later.
Thanks, Sokobane. Sokobane, sorry. Yeah, it's probably the funniest part of the mod. I think it's definitely, like, I think it's trying to kind of hit on some, like, a bit of, like, a, you know, childhood fear sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's definitely more silly than it is serious.
It's especially the, like, unlicensed daycare.
Yeah.
Which is such a common thing of, like, a daycare that has licensed characters poorly painted on the walls.
It's, it's the same thing as, like, Mexican restaurants with Goku drawings, you know? It's a bit of a meme because a lot of us have those specific experiences. I think there was a Big Bird at my, like, old school that definitely wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah. Also, in this playground area is a stuffed animal artifact that you should pick up.
Yes.
Yeah. So, from the daycare, I believe once you beat Shrek, you can leave that and you return to the Mirror World?
I think so, yeah. I think you return to the Mirror World house.
Some of that part is a little unclear for me, but... this leads us to the next nightmare of Steven drowning in the bathtub.
Yep.
Now, you cannot actually enter the bathtub at first. However, you can interact with the sinks in the house, which some of them have been emptied. Previously, all the sinks were full. Now they're not. Only some of them are. If you fill up a sink, the water in the bathtub also rises.
And why would you want to do this? Well, there's a rubber ducky in the bathtub.
Yeah, you gotta get the rubber ducky.
Gotta get the rubber ducky. One. He's the one.
Yeah, so many Sesame Street references in this episode, I swear to God. But also, of course, once the bathtub is filled, you can enter it and sink to the bottom, just like in the dream. And when you do so, you can then emerge from the bathtub once you hit the bottom and the music changes and the house is flooded.
Oh,
it has this really like Minecraft water animation to it.
Yeah,
because the basement doorway, there's like water flowing over the top floor down to the basement, so it's like a waterfall you go through.
Yeah, so there's something behind the waterfall. Count it.
Yep. Go into the basement, go through the little L-shaped hallway, try to leave. You can't. It's a looping hallway.
Yep. Famous looping, impossible looping hallway. Thank you, Antichamber.
Yep.
You're definitely the first one that did that and the only one that did that as far as I'm concerned.
What about Lingo?
Shit.
Lingo deserves to be on the list.
Damn it.
Yeah. From here, I believe from here, you end up in the, like, pool rooms.
Yes.
Yeah, you know the pool rooms, the back rooms variant that has pools and tiled walls and ceilings? It's like a mix between a subway and a subway station and like an indoor public pool.
Yeah, very heavily inspired by art by a specific artist that I don't remember the name of. Shout
out
to him.
Nice, good notes. Good, yep. Good note taking, good prep work.
And you end up going through the pool rooms and there's like weird little, like almost invisible enemies that are a bitch to deal with.
Yeah, they're so bad.
They're very annoying. The area eventually, I believe, does go to the house format as well. There's areas that aren't the full house format, but I believe that there is an area in the pool rooms that's close to it.
So you start off in like a U-shaped corridor, but once you leave that, you end up in an area that is based off the top floor of the house. And you can even find the stairs and go down them, but there's nothing down there. Instead, what you do is you go towards where the bedrooms are, and there's this huge maze of, like, locker rooms and toilet stalls.
Yeah.
And you eventually end up at an actual regular-looking indoor pool with, like, a diving board and everything.
In which there's a big fish.
The fish sucks. I hate the fish. The fish
is fucking terrible.
Because if you kill it, it spawns tiny fish.
It's, yeah, I love it. It's such a good, so the reason you'd want to go in the pool is that there's a D20 in there.
Yeah.
It's one of the artifacts. It's like roll for seduction, or like roll for intercourse.
Yeah.
Which is a funny little thing. But you might have the smart idea of, oh, I'll just kill the fish before I, you know, even have to go in there. Except that it blows up into a bunch of little fish, which are a pain in the ass to deal with.
Yeah. Either way, if you're able to outrun it because it can't chase you forever, when you go to get the D20, the floor underneath it drops out and there is this dark, like, pit underneath it.
Yeah, you have to swim through. Swimming mechanics also not a thing in Doom, by the way.
Yeah, also breath mechanics to go along with the swimming mechanics.
Yep.
There is a part where, so when you first go through this, you go through a little tunnel, and then there's a little sky grate that has a pocket of air above it. You go down and there's more tunnels. There's another sky grate without a pocket of air.
Yep. It debates
you. It trolls you. And I was like, oh no!
It's a prey.
And then it died.
Yeah, it's a trick grate.
Yeah. So you skip that one, keep going, and you end up in sort of a fragment of the house. I believe this is also meant to be like the front hallway.
Yeah.
Floating in the sky. And in front of you, past like the front door, are these enemies that shoot homing projectiles that suck. They have too much hits.
They're, I believe these are the same not archvile enemies.
Yeah.
I sure wish I could remember. I used to know all the dudes in Doom 2. I used to know them personally. I would be like, hey, what up, Mancubus? And he'd be like, brawr, and I'd be like, haha, classic Mancubus.
Yeah. These guys suck. You have to snipe them. It's terrible.
Yep.
Because there's like five of them. And then...
And then!
Out the front door, there's this like aerial stepping stone, floating stone thing. There's a platform off to the right that has something on it, but it's hard to make out. When you step on one specific stone, it's like darker than the others.
It summons pain elementals!
It summons pain elementals, which also suck. And they keep knocking me off the thing.
Yep.
Which we'll get to what that means. But if you're able to turn to the right when you reach that dark stone, you can walk across air, which I believe this is also referenced in the journal.
Yes.
And you find the wedding ring.
Yep. Also very thematic. I like it a lot of, like, you know, having to sort of take a blind leap of faith, step out into the unknown. It's very cute.
It's a very heavenly area as well.
Yes.
So from there, if you fall down, as well as if you fall down earlier in the pool rooms area, there's like some sinkholes, and I think there's just a door that takes you to another hole.
Yeah.
This takes you to just sort of a regular sky room without any stones, with a door in it. The door takes you to an infinite stairwell, from which there are a few separate doors, one of which just takes you into the same infinite stairwell, which is great.
Yep.
The important one, however, has like this blue and red vibrate-y effect. It's like an earthbound background.
Yeah.
It's like when you close your eyes and you see things.
When you like close your eyes and like slightly push on them.
It's like The Witness.
Yeah.
It's kind of like The Witness.
You say that about everything.
It's anyways.
Yeah, but through that door is a door that goes back to the main house. Yeah. Now, it's worth noting, I believe the flooded house is a one and done deal. So if you haven't gotten the wedding ring, then you're sort of
locked out. Or the D20.
Or the D20, yes.
Yeah.
So like, make sure you get those things while you're there. Also, by the way, one little detail that we have passed up on. In the mirror house, it is possible to like complete the game, quote unquote, to go to the exit. It brings you to a mirrored version of Underhalls.
Oh, you mean Slaridnu.
Yep, Slaridnu. I believe that the end screen is also mirrored as well.
Yeah.
Which is really cute. Like, really funny and really high effort.
So, a few quick notes, though. I just want to keep in mind at this point that, think about the artifacts we've been getting. Like, the baby crib stuff, the stuffed animal, the wedding ring. Keep in mind that Stephen, the only family mentor, the only family member of the Stephen's friend that is ever mentioned is Stephen's mom.
Yeah.
Also, we should probably just say that in the journal, or in the extra files, there is an obituary.
Yes.
Of one Tom Anderson?
Yes. Yeah. Tom Anderson.
Yeah.
Which is Stephen's friend.
Yeah.
It talks about him. I believe, like you said, the only family it mentions is his mother.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does mention Tom's partner.
Yes, it does mention. Yeah, it mentions that Tom is married.
Mm-hmm.
But it says like I think it mentions like family as like a sister, I want to say.
I don't remember anything other than the mother.
Yeah, but the important thing here is the mother.
And the partner.
And the partner. Although it doesn't say, it says that he's only succeeded by his mother, not his partner.
Yeah.
So where the fuck his partner is, we don't know.
Yeah. Keep that in mind, Tom Anderson, name of the dead friend. So when you fill out all 8 artifacts on each side, or either side really, the front door reappears. You can go out into the yard and open up the fence. There's a hole in the fence.
Yes. I think one last thing to note, by the way, the, like, brutalist, like, apartment complex, that is required. You don't just go there after the burned house, you also go there after the pool rooms area.
Yeah. So, going through the hole in the fence, you find a forest with a road on it, and there is a crashed car playing the mysterious song.
Yep, the most like mysterious the song on the internet.
Yeah, the song that nobody knows where it came from other than, like, a German radio station. People have been trying to find it. I love it. Its inclusion. We'll talk about it later.
Yep.
Also, here is a gas station that has, like, typical American convenience store stuff. It's got a slushy machine, you know, it's got booze. And also nearby is a campfire that has, on a tree, carved A+S in a heart.
Aww. So, our main character here, Mr.
Stephen?
Stephen. I don't know why I couldn't remember his name. Holy shit. Yeah, our main character here, Stephen, is the only S name we have so far. So, like, S+A.
Kissing in a tree?
S and A. Kissing in a tree.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G-E-R.
So, yeah. Through this area, through this petrol station, if you have collected the 8 artifacts and you're in the mirror world, you get there, like, I believe if you continue down the area that has the campfire, then you get to a beach. But if you walk around it, you will find out pretty soon that it is actually, like, a prop. It's like a movie set sort of thing.
Yeah.
This is a nightmare mentioned in the journal, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is one of the easier, endings to get.
So specifically, this requires all the 8 mirror artifacts. The artifacts in the mirror world.
Yes.
Which are easier to get than the ones on the normal world. In general.
Yep. So.
However.
That's not a great ending, but it is rather a hint to what you really need to do.
Get all artifacts in the regular world, open the fence, go to the gas station. Wait a minute.
Wait. The gas station
is overrun with enemies now once you go into the back.
Yeah. I don't remember if you can get the BFG in this area.
I think you do.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's in a different area, sorry.
Okay. There is a BFG in this particular hack, and you're going to probably want it. It's going to be very useful, because this area is like, this area has a spider mastermind, the final boss in Doom 1. Spider Queen is in Doom 1. No, wait, are they Doom 2? No, yeah, they're Doom 2. So, it has the final boss of Doom 2.
Yeah, and just a shit ton of enemies. It's a whole-on horde fight.
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna have to fight for your good ending.
Yeah, but the goal isn't necessarily to fight. The goal is more so to run to the beach.
Yes.
Like the wind, I might say.
Like the wind.
Like the wind.
Go to the beach. And wouldn't you know it, it's a real beach this time.
Oh my god. And if you have the dog if the dog is still alive, the dog is at the beach.
Aww. And in the sand, is A plus S.
Aww. This is the one and only secret of the entire mod. And it is probably, that probably means it's the true ending, so to speak.
Secret in the Doom sense, where you find a thing and it says you found a secret, or one secret found.
Yeah, there is exactly one secret in, like, you know, quote unquote Doom secret in the entire game.
Capital S secret.
Yeah. There's other lowercase s secrets, including a 5.5 minute hallway.
Oh, yeah.
If you, like, close and open a certain door a million times, it just becomes the 5.5 minute hallway from fucking House of Leaves.
Yeah, let's talk about a few of the other sections we haven't mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you ever try to, like, for one thing, cheats are disabled in this mod, which is pretty uncommon. And whenever you try to use one, it gives you a funny little message that's kind of ironic based on the cheat that you tried.
Yep.
If you do manage to get out of bounds or go to a place in the map you're not supposed to, it teleports you to the back room.
Which is so fucking good.
And there's a back rooms monster.
Yep. There's a back rooms monster. You're in the back rooms. I don't remember if there's actually a way. I don't think there's a way out. Okay, there isn't a way out of there.
I don't think there is. Like, I could be wrong, but I don't think there is.
Well, we'll just assume that there isn't a way out. But another secret is, if you die, you know, just at any point, if you die, like you do, if you wait on the death screen rather than restarting, it will slowly fade out, and it will instead fade into a hospital. This hospital area has, like, a loud beep, beep, beep going.
Mm-hmm. The heart monitor.
Yeah, the heart monitor. And you're in just, like, a hospital room. If you can, like, walk out of it and walk through the hospital.
It's a circle.
But specifically, if you go into one of the other rooms, there's, like, a closed-off section that has a silhouette on the inside, and the heart monitor starts going flat. There's an empty pill bottle, which says need a refill, which, by the way, has actually showed up in the airport as well. There's a section we'll talk about in a second.
Yep.
But, like, you go through this part, you see the thing that says need a refill, and then it will bring you back to where you died. You get, essentially, one extra life.
Yeah.
Which is, like, on one hand, very interesting and slightly helpful. On the other hand, a little tragic.
You only get one. So, like, I had to restart to save it for that damn fight against the pain elementals.
Yeah, that fucking part.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really, really interesting.
So, in the airport, this is where you get the BFG, by the way.
Oh, right, yeah.
You can find the bathrooms in the airport. The men's bathroom is pretty normal. Woman's bathroom is covered in blood.
Yeah, yeah.
Inside, you can find another pill bottle.
Yeah, so at the start, like, if you go inside it at the beginning, there's an empty pill bottle that, like I said, says need a refill. But if you go into it and you start looping around the mirror section, it starts, like you said, being covered in blood, and it starts and it spawns, like, blood monsters.
But there is a BFG there.
There's a BFG there.
And then when you leave the bathroom, the plates have switched.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So. Oh, also there's a full pill bottle, and I believe the full pill bottle, after the plate switch section, I believe the full pill bottle is an artifact that's required. Yeah. Anyway, there's also a wine bottle that's required. I don't even remember
where
it's
just,
like in the
I think that's in the Brutalist
point.
House.
Yeah. No,
there,
I think
there's
it's
two
it's
artifacts
in
the Brutalist House.
There's two artifacts in the Brutalist House, but I think the wine is just in the kitchen during one of the houses.
Oh, maybe.
Anyway.
So,
let's get into a little bit of theorizing, I think.
Let's start with this. So, in the journal, on Valentine's Day, Stephen has a very vague message about the love of his life and, like, missing them.
Yeah.
Remember that Tom had a spouse. A plus S, Tom's last name is Anderson.
A.
More like gay.
Hey!
And there's the wedding ring, and, like, Stephen clearly knows a lot about Tom, more than someone would be for, like, an estranged childhood friend. Like, there's all these photos of this new house and all that, and it seems like this wasn't the house they grew up in, but a house they bought together.
Yeah.
Now, also, the thing with the bathrooms and the pills, the common reading is that Tom is trans.
Yes.
My reading is that Tom is trans man, trans mask, a trans male. And the reason it said A plus S is because when they were younger and they would have done something like carve their name into a tree, he wasn't happy with his first name. So he used his last name.
Yeah.
His first name wasn't him. Additionally, this is supported by the fact that there are two. So both Steven and Tom ran cross country, but there are photos of both the male and female cross country teams.
Yep.
And you don't really see any, this is obviously Tom photos until he's an adult.
Yeah. So like, yeah, it's something where like the fact that they are gay is like very, I think very easy to understand. Yeah. The fact that Tom is trans, I think, is a little more you have to read between the lines, but I also think that, like, it's very heavily supported by the evidence given.
Yeah, like the fear of the woman's bathroom.
Yeah, the fear of the woman's bathroom is really interesting.
Yeah.
I really like your reading on the S plus A. I hadn't even really thought about that specifically. I like, my initial thought was, like, maybe his dead name started with A? But, like, the idea of being like, well, I don't like this name, so I'm going to use my last name instead. That makes a lot of sense, and I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that's worth bringing up, though, I think the big secrets, so to speak. So, we've mentioned that you can go through the back of the fence, and we have also mentioned previously the whole, like, burned house section. You might have the idea, you might have the thought of, wait, is that still available after the whole house has been sold? Come to find out, yes, it is. And if you have burned down the house and go through that section, instead of getting the big forest area, you get a gravestone with a QR code.
A small gravesite floating in blackness.
Yep. The QR code, I think, was initially a little unreadable, but had to be like, you know, somebody extracted it.
Yeah.
And it brings you to an obituary for Steven.
Yep.
Yep. That's right.
Steven died on like the same date, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had a shared funeral, though it doesn't specifically mention it. It's just that the address for the funeral is the same.
Yeah.
They were both, yeah, they were both married, but it doesn't say to who. It just says to a partner.
Yeah. And like, they were both married, but it doesn't say to who. And the fact that I don't think Steven has anybody succeeding him, because I specifically believe that, like, it's mentioned that Steven's dad passed away, and that's what the hospital selection alludes to, or the hospital section alludes to, but Tom is succeeded only by his mother, which implies that both of, you know, the spouses are gone.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, that's essentially kind of the big reveal, TM, is that Steve, like, Tom is obviously the one who is, you know, dead at the outset that we know of, but Steven himself is also dead. And this whole thing has kind of been a seemingly like an exercise in, you know, him putting away his past self. I believe I've seen a reading from Power Pack as well that the, like, the biggest twist is that Tom is, like, his reading is that Tom is actually the one who was doing the whole, like, recreating the house and everything. But I don't know about that particular theory to support it. But
yeah, I'm not going to delve into that one further.
Yeah. The point here is that there is a lot of things that, like, we kind of pretty much have answers for, but there are still a couple of, like, periphery questions that are, you know, more specific individual parts that are, like, still a little up in the air.
Yeah. I think the obvious big one is just, like, who uploaded the map then?
Yeah.
In the fiction, Steven uploaded the map after Tom died, but also died at the same time as Tom.
Yeah.
The real answer is it's whoever made this. I don't know if Veg is the actual alias of the creator of the map, or if that itself is an alias utilized to be Steven Nelson as a character.
Yeah, that's part of the mystery. And actually a fun thing too is that the journal dates actually line up with some posts to Doomworld during this period. Like,
yeah.
there's moments where, like, on Doomworld he would mention, like, you know, having nightmares or something. And it lines up directly with the time frame of the, like, February 22 to March 23, like, timeline or whatever. It's really well done.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of, yeah, it's a mystery who, like, like, putting aside the kayfabe, who the real map creator or even creators are or is. But at the same time, big shrug. It's what they are is talented.
Yeah.
Whoever made this, be it one person or multiple people, is insanely talented.
Well, maybe get a new prose writer, but
yeah, yeah, get a new, you know, it, talented in map making specifically.
Yeah.
And honestly, talented in like telling a story through map making, I would even say. There's a lot of details that you kind of infer just by playing the map.
Environmental storytelling.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah, I love the technical aspects make this even cooler, but like to even do all that requires so much time and effort that I just am amazed by it when I play it, how cool it is.
Yeah.
I want to talk, so we're doing Housetober about things inspired by House of Leaves, but my house, in case you couldn't tell, is inspired by a lot of things.
Yeah.
It feels like a season finale of the internet.
Yeah, yeah. That's, oh my god.
There are so many little references to so many different things. We've got back rooms, pool rooms, other liminal horror stuff like the airport hotel. We have Shrek.
Yep.
Gotta have Shrek
gotta
in there.
Gotta have Shrek.
There's like almost vaporwavy element of the sky area.
Yeah.
Not quite vaporwave, but sort of.
That style like is very present. I can see what you mean in like yeah. that you know, really high saturation kind of vibe.
Sunny blue skies with wavy clouds.
Yeah. There's yeah. no marble busts as far as I'm aware, unfortunately.
Yeah. There's also like the mysterious song.
Yeah, the most mysterious song on the internet, which yeah. Gained a lot of popularity in this specific, you know, in recent years.
Yeah, it feels like it brings in so many different inspirations and wears them on its sleeve, which makes sense because it is a custom map and like that is just common. Like, look at how many liminal space maps have been made for, like, Gmod.
Yeah.
Like, this is completely in character for a real person making a Doomwad to do, is to incorporate these references. But they also take on sort of a new meaning through the story we're given. Like, the experience of exploring the same house over and over coincides really well with the back rooms. It doesn't just feel to me like a reference to the back rooms, but it is comparing the fiction of the back rooms in like the original green text to this like trapped in a house like House of Leaves scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this particular Doomwad, like I don't even know how we're going to categorize this for like indie game of the year sort of thing, because it's going on nomination for something in the Net Surfies. Like I don't know. I think we have like an internet thing,
yeah.
like section that it would maybe fit to, but it's, yeah, it's so well done. I also like, just like you said, the way that it uses the liminal space stuff, where like the bathhouse being this wide, sprawling corridor, like very heavily implies like, you know, oh, they're you know, being lost as a child in like a public pool area, that sort of thing. Just, oh god, it's so interesting, and it's really well done.
Yeah, it is technically fantastic. By that I mean it is fantastic in a technical sense. It is well designed, like the photos in the journal. Look, some people don't like having to, like, look at other materials, but I love that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, also, the back of the set reminds me of Everywhere at the End of Time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's intentional or if that's me reading too much into it.
Yeah.
But that part really felt like it.
The backside of the canvas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is fantastic in that so many sort of references are brought together. By the way, there's just a lot of different types of death, which I kind of like because it's hard to tell how they actually died. Like,
yeah.
There's the house fire, the house flood, the plane crash. There are multiple forms of death. Oh, and the car crash.
Yeah, yeah, that's one thing that we didn't mention. In the mirror world, so in the normal world, I believe, the convenience store is fine, and there is a... Is that the one that has the crashed car?
I thought they both did, but I could be wrong.
No. One of them has the car just parked.
Okay.
But one of them has the car crashed.
I think the Mirror World has the car crash.
Yeah, the Mirror World has the car crash, and I think the Mirror World also has the murder scene at the petrol
station.
Right,
yeah. It has, like, the chalk outline.
Yeah. Like, you can go up to it, and it's, you know, it's got a bunch of blood inside, and it has the chalk outline, and, like... Clearly something bad happened here, which, like, it also flows into what you said of, like, because there's so many of these references to different ways to die, it's kind of an open question of how specifically they died. I would say I think the car crash is the most likely, but, like, I mean, you know, there it also has murder, drowning, crashing other things, like...
Burning,
going into a bathroom, a famous way to die.
Mm-hmm. Shitting yourself to death. Yeah. Oh, and just flatlining in the hospital.
Yeah.
There are so many allusions to it, which I think it does obscure the actual method of death in a way that might not be satisfying to people who want definitive answers. But I do like how it adds to this sort of like these are things to have nightmares about, of different ways to die. These are anxieties. Maybe there was, like, some sort of trauma or damage that made Steven more worried about traveling or going on, you know, things happening.
Yeah.
Maybe there actually was a house fire, and recreating the house is a way to recreate this place that they used to live in.
Yeah.
You know, I think also the house as sort of an effigy is really interesting, too. Okay, here's something. So, the house... To access the QR code, you have to go through the house that gets burnt down, overgrown, and vanishes. To me, that is a way of saying that neither person survived.
Yeah.
The Mirror World and real world, like, forest to beach sections, both are contingent on one of them living to finish the house, which in this case leads to the beach. So the QR code is like the AU where it never gets uploaded because both of them die. But my reading is that this is my game, my digital interactive media hypothesis or digital interactive media extrapolation is that the Mirror World is the Tom version and the real world is the Steven version of like two separate worlds where the house gets finished and uploaded to Doom World.
Yeah, yeah.
But also like... Whether one is the true ending or the other, I think sort of misses the point in a way. Like, I like the idea that the burning down the house after you get all the artifacts and finding the QR code is the true ending, because it has this sort of acceptance to it.
Yeah.
It is clear that Steven, in the journal, does not like this compulsion to finish it.
Yeah.
It is a form of grieving, but it doesn't seem to be healthy for him. It is essentially just how Johnny gets obsessed with finishing House of Leaves, the Navidson record. But, like, there isn't also, like, a ghost in the machine type of thing of, like, I didn't mean to upload it. And then he deletes it, and it's like, I uploaded it again. It uploaded itself again.
That's
it's
right.
It's like Ben.
Yeah, it's this my house drowned.
True, yeah, it happened.
It did. Yeah, that's right. The fact that it's the PK3 file instead of myhouse.wad is actually like a point where he uploads it and then it's like, oh shit, like I swear I uploaded the WAD file, but it uploaded the big file. And there is actually in the journal, now that it's been, you know, now that it's all been not solved but like done, there is actually the specific WAD of the house that's just the first portion.
Yeah,
proportion. But yeah, I think that like part of, I feel like at least some part of the ending, some part of the message is that though there is the like the beach, it's a secret that you eventually, if you want to complete the level, have to leave. Like you don't find the secret and then the game and then, you know, the level ends. You eventually will have to go back. Like it feels very much like a, you know, kind of a statement of intent of like, you will always have these memories, you will always have this space you can be in, but you do still have to go back. It's not permanent.
Yeah, you have to leave the house eventually.
Yeah.
You have to sell it to Navidson Realty, who will probably not end up selling it, the house may end up dissolving.
Yeah. They won't sell it. They'll actually just keep it on the market so that it keeps growing and growing. And then eventually they'll sell it and be like, look, it's got 500,000 square feet.
It's also freezing.
It's yeah, freezing.
I love myhouse.wad. It's worth playing, especially. There's a lot of videos of it online. I didn't really internalize or really get to appreciate the actual madness of it until I played it myself.
Yeah.
Especially the process of, like, new doors appearing and disappearing rapidly. When you're first, like, finding new doors and, like, the modern house area appears, that part is fantastic because it's so hard to tell what's going on.
Yeah. It has a kind of, like, honestly, another point of reference feels like a B3313.
Yeah.
And like the personalization theory,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, it isn't 100% applicable here, but it feels like something that was, you know, also an inspiration. The fact that, you know, every, like, going through different areas just kind of spawns different doors and stuff.
And you know what's interesting? The sort of, the way you progress through the game kind of reminds me of Yumaniki as well.
Ah, yeah.
You gather a bunch of artifacts to finally go through one big door, though in this case, you don't die when you do so.
Yeah.
There's also just sort of the dreamlike element of you have bespoke areas, but how to actually connect to them is unclear and confusing. And my house, in some ways, it feels like it uses creepypasta logic or like weird bug logic of like, oh, I got the cat and then I interacted with this door and it said insert cat. And when I did so, it opened a hole in the wall. But like all of that is real in this game.
Yeah.
And when you don't have the context that that is all hinted at through the extra materials, it can feel very arbitrary. Like, how was I supposed to figure that out? Or how did anyone figure that out? But I really love the aspect of cross-referencing the journal and the photos and the house itself.
Yeah.
Like I knew about the mirror world, but I couldn't remember how to reach it until I looked back in the journal and found the bathroom mirror being mentioned. And I was like, oh, that's right. That is such a just an interesting style of play in game design that I would love to see more of in general.
Yeah.
Like, Tunic kind of has that as a game that is created alongside its walkthrough. It's just in my house, it is not necessarily a walkthrough. It is a separate document that you have to first realize is a walkthrough, then learn how to interpret as a walkthrough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's honestly, it's kind of funny that this is this particular theme, Spooky Month, because technically speaking, it also fits with the, like we said, the Yumaniki and the like personalization stuff. So this is kind of also a culmination of Netsurfer Pro when you think about it.
Yeah, this is kind of all of our spooky months put together.
Yeah, and we only did this one as the second. Darn. I hope we have something really good for the third episode.
Oh yeah, I hope so too.
Better. You still have another episode, I believe. Unless there's no, like, 20 days in October, are there?
Hang on, let me try. 30 days has September, April, June, and October. All the rest have 31. I'm gonna shoot you with a gun.
Good try! I'm shooting you with a double crossbow!
Ah, darn it, you're right. Can you just, like, hand me a gun? It doesn't even need ammo. I just, you know, I like the security of it.
There's, like, a Nerf gun.
Ah, awesome. Ah, yes.
Now you can shoot any zombies that show up.
Yeah. Well, you know, that'll keep us safe for the next while. Should we do outros before we get knocked out with more sleeping gas?
Yeah. Thanks for listening. You can find us on any podcasting platform you like. Leave us a like, give us a rating, give us a review. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you think we should cover or what we might be interested in. Just sort of recommendations. You can follow us on Twitter at NetsurferPro to get upcoming teasers on upcoming episodes. In the form of little emoji riddles. Try to decipher the clues. There's one left for Spooky Month, and then I believe one more for the episode after Spooky Month.
Yeah! The post-game episode.
The post-game, yep. But it won't be a post-game or a post-Malone, but we will post the episode.
Ah!
After October.
Where can people find you, by the way?
You can find me on Twitter at Twakaroo, TWAKAROO. Where I tweet out my thoughts and hot takes and little bits and a lot of my pinball scores recently.
Nice.
You can also follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/twack, twitch.tv/twak, where I stream on some weekdays, and I'm just about finished up with Pikmin 4, double Pikmin 2.
Yeah.
And
Pikmin 2 squared.
I streamed a little bit of my house, and I did a tier list stream recently that I realized I forgot to look for a tier list I was wanting to do a stream for.
Ah, damn.
So I might end up doing another tier list stream soon if I can get some good ones. So check me out on there if you're into that. Also, November coming up, that means it'll be time for Shadowvember, where I will be raising money for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and for every $50 I raise, I have to play through Shadow the Hedgehog again.
Yes!
That's the scariest part.
Yeah.
Talk about a looping game where you keep repeating the same areas.
Yeah.
Is Shadow the Hedgehog a Yume Nikki-like? Anyways, your turn.
Look, donating money to JDRF is easier than taking candy from a baby, which is fine by me. As for myself, though, you can find me on Twitter and on TikTok at Galen Wilson. That's at GALENWILS0N. I post my hot takes, and I recently posted a video of a food that I made. It was a comedy fat man food.
Are you a bit of a food doof?
I'm a bit of a food dude, a food dude's dude brood with a broadsode.
Broadsode.
You can also find me on YouTube at The Only Galen on YouTube, where I have actually been scripting a much longer video, so fingers crossed that I can have the wherewithal to finish that. And on Twitch, you can find me at Machine Gun Vampire, where I might be streaming one of these days, you never know.
Good luck.
Yeah, but for right now, that has been NetSurfer Pro.
Say for right now? Calling card. Oh wait, no, that's a calling card of someone similar to me, but not me. No.
Huh. You know, that actually kind of sounds like Bane's calling.
Quick, I'm going to fill the room with gas!
Oh, no, we're going to go sleep.
Me, 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 me.